with Keanu chapter 9, text number 3. Duty is being specially gifted with the Lord's mercy. Repeat. Repeat, please. Is that too long for your Kali Yuga memories? Due to being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy. Bharat Maj could remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmana, he was very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. He was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would fall down again. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public as a madman, dull, blind, and deaf, so that others would not try to talk to him. This way he avoided bad association. Within he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive action. In this way he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. Purport. Every living entity is bound by different activities due to association with the modes of nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasat Yoni Janmasu. This is due to the association with the material nature. He meets with various good and evil amongst various species. Gita 13:22. We get different types of bodies among 8,400,000 species of life, according to our karma. Karmana deva netrena. We work under the influence of material nature, contaminated by the three modes. Thus we get a certain type of body according to superior order. This is called karma bandha. To get out of the karma bandha, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one will not be affected by the modes of nature. In Port Harcourt, they had on the wall the newspaper headline from when Jayadvaita Maharaj was there. It says, Jayadvaita Swami says, everyone dies by their own karma. Two newspapers put that. You're born by your own karma also, not only die. You're born. Mamsha yo vyabhicharena. Everybody knows that one? Can you repeat? Mamsha yo vyabhicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan. Samati choitan. Brahma bhuyaya. Kalpate. This is one of the most often quoted slokas most devotees learn early on. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. 14:26. To remain immune from the material qualities, one must engage himself in devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. 7:5:23 of the Bhagavad Gita. Who spoke that? All big Shastri scholars. Who spoke that verse? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Swami. Saladmar. When his father said, what did you learn in school today? And he said, told him that, and he was very angry. Because he was supposed to learn politics and warfare and deep seat and diplomacy and all that. He didn't like those things. So his father was going to kill him. That is the perfection of life, to be engaged in these Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, remembering Vishnu, Archanam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the nine different ways to engage in devotional service. You should be trying for that. When Maharaj Bharat took birth as a Brahmana, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahmana, but within he remained a pure Vaishnava, always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru, 1865. Very, Krishna says that one twice, so it's very important. Exactly that. The end of chapter 9, which is the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, and then that's the second to the last thing that Krishna says himself before he says Sarva Dharmam Paricchaya. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, 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 me. And the Mayavadi says he doesn't mean himself. He means something else. That's what they say. When Prabhupada mentioned that in a very early time, before his Bhagavad Gita was available, and one of the, I think it was Kirtananda, he was the most scholarly of all the, he was studying for a PhD in religion, so he studied many things. He said, what's wrong with that? Because that's what all the books he read said. Prabhupada smashed the table. They said he almost broke the table. He started shouting really loud at his demoniac. That is the only process by which one can be saved from the danger of repeated birth and death. Think of Krishna, worship Krishna, become a devotee of Krishna. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha. So Judd Bharat, of course we see madmen, it's like if we see a baby, if we're lucky it will remind us of Krishna's babyhood. If we see lovers, we'll remember Radha and Krishna and Sita Ram, instead of getting envious of them. Or if we see beautifully dressed people, we'll remember that how Krishna dresses so beautifully. If we see a madman, then we can remember Rishabhdev. It might not be that all madmen are like him inside. You never know, so you have to be careful with everybody. Right? And Krishna told Arjuna one time, he said, I appeared as a hog, Varaha. Because, you know, in village life you see a lot of hogs. So he said, whenever you see a hog, you can remember my incarnation. Whenever you see a fish, you can remember the fish incarnation, right? The swan incarnation, there's no swans here. There are fish. Usually they're not in a very good shape when we see them. When we see an elephant, all these things, because every one of those things is somehow or other in the Bhagavatam. So if we're lucky, that we'll be reminded of Krishna. If we read about Krishna and hear about Krishna, we'll be reminded of Krishna. Whatever, shravanam, kirtanam, hearing, chanting, then remembering Vishnu. Because you're hearing and chanting about Vishnu, you remember Vishnu. We're hearing and chanting about the football game, we'll remember that. Right? I don't know, here I know in America they have that game, baseball. It's very popular. They said like some fathers, they'll be very frustrated their child can't learn the basic mathematics in school or something. But he knows everybody's batting average and their history and their record and so many things. He's balancing so many figures. And with sports, people can do that. But a useless way to clutter up your memory. It's nobody. We say we don't have a good memory, but we're always remembering something. If you examine your mind, you're never not remembering something. But we're not usually remembering Krishna. So, Jad Bharat, he kept this inside, he was totally absorbed, but he didn't want to be bothered. So he acted like he was completely stupid, deaf and dumb. His father couldn't teach him anything, he always did it opposite what his father teach him. He'd teach him to wash his hands, you know, before, after passing school, he wouldn't do that. He didn't take bath, you know, he was... Apparently, that's of a dutta. But he wasn't at all concerned, genuinely not concerned about external things. We have to be concerned. Keep clean, otherwise we'll never remember anything. Dress decently and all this stuff. Didn't want anyone to bother him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was a super top student. But he dropped out of the university because he didn't want people thinking he was educated and trying to give him jobs. So, different things are going on. Just something Indraduna Maharaj was just in a place called Macedonia. You ever heard of that? Anybody heard of Macedonia? Huh? Who came from there? Anybody know who's a famous person from Macedonia? Usually you think he's from Greece. Alexander? The so-called great? He's from Macedonia. Huh? He's born in Macedonia. He was so-called representing Greece. And in his conquest, but Greece and Macedonia weren't so much different. So he was saying that when he was a child, he was in school, he's supposed to write, you know, about a hero. So he chose him and he went to the library and was reading about him. Of course, he conquered, he was cruel and vicious, he was a drunkard. You know, he burned and killed and looted and raped, you know, so many cities. Took all the men for the next conquering, whoever was still alive, because his army would be wiped out. But he was crying, this is mentioned here, at the end of his life. Well, not even at the end, but he was crying that there's nothing left to conquer. But he was also crying that he couldn't take care of what he conquered. And then Prabhupada said, don't make me Alexander the Great. You know, don't go up and don't conquer too many places and not take care. Don't go, you know, don't go here and make this and that. So he was joking. But Alexander, there were some decent things. One time they arrested a thief and he stole just some fruit or something. And they brought him before Alexander to get judged. And the thief said, well, who are you to judge? He gave in Hindi, he said, I'm the cucumber thief and you're the diamond thief. The words are very close. He said, I'm a small thief and you're a big thief. So how can you judge me and punish me? So Alexander said, very clever, and he let him go. But at the end of his life, he died of some unknown disease. Shortly after he had occupied India, and Chanika Pandit was making all kinds of tricks to get him out. And he got him out, got all the Greeks out of India. But one reason was that because Alexander died and they became weak. So he made a request, he called his ministers while he was dying, and he said, for his funeral, he said, I want the doctors to carry the body to the grave. And I want you to throw all the jewels and wealth that I've collected on the path that they walk on. And I want my hands hanging out of the box. So that was to show the doctors and show people that no doctor can keep you alive. And that all the wealth you've collected is useless. And your hands are empty. You came in with empty hands and you go out with empty hands. So he had some intelligence. Anyway, he was just in Macedonia, and that's where he comes from. So they have a big monument to him. Then in the same city in Macedonia, that's where Mother Teresa comes from. So they have her house or something, and where she was born, and they have a museum, you know, honoring Mother Teresa. So he went in, and he found this prayer that Mother Teresa wrote. At 17 years old, she left for India to be a missionary nun. I'm leaving my dear house and my beloved land to steamy Bengal. I go to a distant shore. I'm leaving my friends, forsaking my family and home. My heart draws me toward to serve my Christ. Goodbye, O Mother. Dear, may God be with you all. A higher power compels me toward India. The ship moves slowly ahead, cleaving the ocean, as my eyes take one last look at Europe's dear shores. Bravely standing on the deck, joyful, peaceful, Christ happy little one, his new bride to be. In her hand is a cross of iron on which the Savior hangs, while her eager soul offers here its painful sacrifice. O God, accept this sacrifice. Help, please, thy creature to glorify thy name. In return, I only ask of you, O most kind Father, let me save at least one soul, one you already know, fine and pure as summer dew, her soft, warm tears began to flow, sealing the sanctifying, now her painful sacrifice. So then I think everybody knows the rest of the story, right? Mother Teresa. She was criticized by people that her, you know, they were too renowned. In India is one place you'll find many nuns, renounced ladies. And they just, like her, they have one sari. They're just helping, you know, lepers and all kinds. So Indradyumna Maharaj thought that was a real, you know, that's the preaching spirit. That's what we need. That's how Prabhupada went to America. No money, old man, not a young man giving, he was an old man. He'd already given up everything, and they gave him up. His family gave him up. They didn't want him, because they didn't think he had enough money. They thought he was preaching too much. But he didn't have anything in America either. And, you know, the general opinion of everybody was almost the same as in Columbus' time, that you just fall off the edge of the world if you sailed across the ocean. And America was just, you know, savages. And there was no way that anybody could know about Krishna. Even now, many, many Hindus think only Hindus or only Indians, you know, can understand. But Prabhupada, he had complete faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kirata, Hunandra, Purinda, Prakasha, Yavana, Yenye, Chapapa, Yadapasha, Yasaya. Shriyanti Tasmai, Prabhavishnave Namaha. That no matter how fallen someone is, in the Vedas, you know, they have ideas of uncultured places, different groups like the Huns, Hunandra, the Undrans, and some people think that the Africans, the Chinese, and the Mongols, you know. And it's true, there were, you know, some very uncivilized people in those places, like Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan, who conquered even more than Alexander and killed much more people than any modern war ever did. Conquered almost everything that was known at the time. But they were savages, they weren't doing it for Krishna. Prabhupada was going to conquer for Krishna. He conquered the whole world. But didn't know anybody. But he had complete faith in the words of the Bhagavatam that if they hear the name of Krishna, that anyone can get purified. So that's why we're trying to get everyone to chant, everyone to read a book. We want to make everything available to people so, as easy as possible. Sometimes we have to be charitable. We're supposed to be the highest welfare work. Tabakatamritam, tapta jivanam, shimadatatam, tabibir iditam. That those who distribute this Krishna katha, that is the best thing for the souls who are burning up in this material world. And those who distribute it are Bhurida Janaha, Bhuvi Jinantiye, Bhurida Janaha. They are the most merciful. Those who distribute this Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, any book about Krishna, is Krishna Katha. Those who distribute it are the most merciful. They want to find ways and means to give it to everyone. Right? Like I told about that girl in Bombay. She was a fashion designer, quite wealthy, has a rich father. But she goes and preaches to these Indian businessmen to give money, and then she goes herself. And she has to get different people to help her to hospitals, orphanages, and otherwise big pilgrimages, and, you know, distributes books all day. And prasad, the money she got. I went to her house and she had a big Balaji deity. She was preaching to one businessman. He gave her a big donation. He said, "You take this also. You gave me Krishna, I'll give you Krishna." She had two deities. She's magnanimous. She wants to give Krishna to everyone. And therefore Krishna is helping her. So this is our mood. That's Prabhupada's mood. Came with nothing, but he attracted all kinds of people. And the majority of the devotees who joined Prabhupada in the beginning, they were not from poor families. They were not orphans. They were coming from wealthy families. I mean, some of my godbrothers have inherited millions of dollars. But still, they gave up everything. They gave up everything and sleep on the floor and, you know, in cold showers. Now here you might take cold shower, but you don't know what a cold shower is in Chicago in the winter. And it's 20 below zero outside and the water is as cold as water can be without being ice. And that's the shower. We didn't even have hot water in most of the ashrams. Later they put it in. The first time a devotee came and told me, we convinced our temple president to put hot water. I thought they're going to all fall down. It's total maya. Hot shower. Even though it's so cold, they sometimes finish a shower and put our beads. I couldn't feel the beads. My hand was frozen. The floor was frozen. But they didn't care. They gave up everything. But you have to be careful. Like one boy, he was one of the most simpleton, renounced brahmacharis I ever saw. He was just hide away in the basement somewhere memorizing Bhagavad Gita. He always didn't dress nice. And his parents were very rich. His mother was a big journalist and his father was an editor of Playboy magazine. And they died in a plane crash, so he inherited everything. Inherited the house and all the money and everything. And then next time they heard of him, he gave up Krishna consciousness completely and was enjoying the money. That's why Krishna doesn't give us so much sometimes. Because we might get bewildered by it. And if he does give it, we have to be careful to give it back. Krishna doesn't count what we give him, he sees what we don't give him. He knows what we're keeping. We may, nobody else may know except us, and even we don't know sometimes how much things we're keeping dirt. But Krishna knows everything. So that's why he's saying sarva dharma, give up everything. And Jadarani, when she was distributing books, people would say, how much? She'd say, well, Krishna says you should give everything you have. But I know you can't do that, so just give whatever you can. But the last guy gave $100. So they want to compete. But Krishna says give everything, give up everything. So we can be, some of us are living practically like Jad Bharat, but we're not thinking of Krishna all the time. Like he was totally absorbed in thinking of Krishna. We may see someone that's externally like him, but they're not thinking of Krishna. Someone's always thinking of Krishna, they always talk about Krishna. Later on in Jad Bharat, it's one of my favorite sections of the Bhagavatam, when he met that king Rahugana. And the king was chastising him, and he started preaching to the king very eloquently. Then the king was shocked that this crazy looking guy was preaching so nicely. So he understood this man is different. So he started asking him questions. And it was very, very instructive. Three chapters. Because the first one, Prickett said, that's a little hard to understand. Can you make it a little more simple? So he repeated it again. And again he said, well, it's still a little difficult. Can you make it more simple? They made it more simple. But it really explains the mind, the relationship to mind and body and all these different things in a very, very nice way. Things that are necessary for us to learn. So we want to be like Jad Bharat in the internal side, that we're always thinking of Krishna. In order to think of Krishna, we have to hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna. There's Krishna Katha. And then there's Gramya Katha. Anybody know what Gramya Katha is? Huh? The newspaper, CNN, the internet. You can find out everything about everybody, right? But they change it every other day. I know myself, I'm looking for the email and then this news keeps popping up. And it's easy to get caught up to just check it out. So how crazy everyone is, but better to find out from the Bhagavatam. The same old thing, corruption in the politics. Different countries, the news stresses on different things. And if you go in a newsstand, in Europe and America, so many magazines about the movie stars and their latest divorce or their latest something, their latest diet. Or in America, it's always they're going for rehabilitation from their drug addiction, and everybody's fascinated by what so-and-so is doing. People want a hero. They make all these movies, superhero movies. But none of those heroes come close to Krishna. And like Krishna, when he held up Govardhan Hill, and he let Indra devastate, the rain was going all over Braj. But when it was over, everything was perfect. Right? In the movie, sometimes the hero, you know, by the time he finishes, they've destroyed New York City. But they caught the bad guy. Right? So, are the U.S. Army, you know, they killed somebody. Now the world is going to be perfectly nice. It hasn't made a bit of difference. The only difference you could maybe perceive is it's worse, you know, more complicated. That instead of having one big leader who kept all the little guys down, now they got all the little guys coming up, and it becomes more crazy. But they keep telling you, the doctors tell you, we just killed this germ, then you'll never get sick. Still everyone's getting sick and dying. So we want Krishna Katha, Grama Katha, village talk. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about the corruption here? Did you hear about this and that? And people just want to do that. Mark Twain, you've heard of him, famous American author, right? Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, very famous. If you read English literature, definitely. But he said, bad news goes around the world. Well, the good news is trying to tie his shoes. If you hear some bad news about someone, you hear some story that someone's a thief or a criminal or a rapist, immediately believe it. Tell everybody. Make plans to cut off his head. If we tell you something good about someone, where'd you hear that? I don't believe it. Can't be true. Right? The nature. Bad news goes so fast. The whole world knows it's any kind of gossip, but then when they tell you it's not true, it's just a little thing in the bottom of the back page. You know? But when they state it as it is true, it's a big, big news. So you have to be very careful. Whatever we hear about Krishna is always good. You know, the Srimad Bhagavatam is always good. Bhagavad Gita. Memorize Bhagavad Gita. Think about it. Memorize it, even one sloka of it. You know, repeat it again and again to anyone you meet. Book distributors do that sometimes. You know, they just go up and talk Sanskrit to people, quote slokas, and they still take the book. You know, because it's based on desire. You know, if someone really wants people to get Krishna, that will influence the sutras, just like Narada Muni, Nalakavara, and Manigriva. He wanted them, he wanted Krishna. They had no qualification whatsoever by their activities to get Krishna. But Narada Muni wanted them to get Krishna, so Krishna said, I have to do it. So he gave him prema, Krishna prema. That's the nature of Krishna, giving. Devotees are also representing Krishna, so we give prasadam, we give books, we give the holy name. You know, these professionals in America, kirtan is a fashion now. So people have concerts, they charge big money. And they chant. I heard one of them the other day here in the kitchen or something, one of these famous guys. It gets all over the place, and he's saying Hare Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, so nobody knows. Big Mayavadi, you know, sense gratifier. But, you know, it becomes famous. He chants Hare Krishna, he chants Shiva, he chants Durga, he chants Ganesh, everything. Satisfy everyone. But he's famous and making big money. People pay a lot of money for the concert. And we do for free. Nobody would know about kirtan if it wasn't for the Hare Krishna movement. But if you look up these famous kirtan guys, they don't mention ever Hare Krishna movement. They just say, oh, he's the greatest kirtan ever, so innovative, so wonderful. We have so much better kirtan here. We have many that are much better. But, they get famous. People like that. We call it in bhakti. The word bhakti has become very popular. But It's just a party. They chant bhajans, but they're partying. They're intoxicated. They're enjoying the world and the world. Many things. If there's any philosophy, it's all mayama. Sometimes devotees can go and rescue somebody from the crowd. It's not easy. So we want to give the truth. People are being cheated in the name of religion, like anything. In the name of every religion, being cheated. You'll get rich. You'll never get sick. I heard one guy in America. He had a huge crowd in his, looked like a concert hall, but I guess it was his church. But you'll never get sick. Oh God, you know, please help these people never get sick. They'll never have an enemy. Everything they do will be perfect. And the people were running up and giving donations. Oh, great, that's what we want. That doesn't happen. And we're saying give up everything. The dhanam, the janam, the sundarim. We don't want it. We don't want wealth. We don't want... And as much as we want it, we don't get it. It works kind of the opposite. If material things, if a devotee doesn't, is detached, Krishna will give. But if he's attached, he'll take away. Because he might misuse it. We can misuse it in all kinds of ways. We can use it in all kinds of ways. So, and we have all these wonderful leelas in the Bhagavatam. And so much, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta, he lectured on the first verse of the Bhagavatam at Radha Kund for 1 month. Same verse. People were wondering, you know, why doesn't he talk about Radha and Krishna? He was lecturing at Radha Kund on Ishopanishad. They thought he's not, you know, even some of his disciples left him. And they go to these cheating people that say, we'll tell you what you'll be in the spiritual world, and you'll be a gopi, and your friend can be Krishna, and all kinds of things they do. The sahajyas. It's really bad. But it's the same idea. You don't have to worry about sinful activities because you're chanting, you'll be cured, you know, relieved of all sins. Like they say Jesus saw one sign in America. It said Christians aren't, I don't know, something like, you know, they're not sinless, but they're saved. And they actually get the idea that it's okay to be sinful, because when you go before Yamaraj, Jesus will come and say, excuse me, he's my friend, and take him to Goloka. Won't happen. Jesus says it won't happen. So the same thing. If we're chanting Hare Krishna and trying to give up sense gratification, at the time of death, Krishna will give us himself. If we're thinking of sense gratification, if we have any material desires, we have to take birth again to fulfill them. And then it might become complicated, because once we get into the material world and the modes of nature, it can be a big mess. So we go to Krishna's Leela. The Damodar Leela is one of the most wonderful ones. We want to offer the flames and everything, but we want to also meditate on these Leelas and the nature of that prayer. You know, that we don't want anything except Krishna, just to remember Krishna. We'll say, well, I can't remember Krishna until I have so many other things. Then I can remember Krishna. Right? Hare Krishna. So I must be very boring today. So. One time there was one devotee in L.A. and he must have read yoga. Some yoga books say that if you wake up in the night, no matter what time you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. You have to get up. So he would wake up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and he wouldn't go back to sleep. So he would be so sleepy. So he was standing up in Prabhupada's class one day, you know, trying to stay awake. And all of a sudden, And that made so much noise, like the Yamalajun trees falling down in the tropics. He said, well, sleeping is all right, but not in this. So it's hard, but then, you know, get out and chant and dance, give the holy name. Now, where's those books? Hanuman? Something more exciting. This book is called The Nectar of Devotion. Who has read this book? Yeah. Why? So this book is one of the first big books published. When I joined, it was the only one we had. Maybe they had TLC. Yeah, we had TLC in this. And so we read this every night. It was a good fortune. There was no Bhagavad Gita, one copy of Bhagavad Gita, and a few chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam were published in the second canto. But this was published by ISKCON Press. It was not such a good quality. It fell apart when you opened it and stuff. It had all the words. So Prabhupada said this book is especially for devotees, very important. It's, Rupa Goswami wrote so much, but this is considered the jewel of what he wrote. So who would like to read it? Who has one at home already? So if you don't have one and you would like to read it, you can come and take it. If you're capable of giving a donation for it, please do, because that's better for you. You know, it's for your benefit. Everybody, you give something, everybody comes. You ask for anything, everybody disappears. You talk about Krishna, you fall asleep. Right? All of a sudden, there's much more people. See, excuse me, management, but you know, the books, at least all the devotees should get a free book so they can read it. How are they going to read the book if they don't have it? It's in a so-called library that's locked 24 hours a day. You have to get more? Oh, yeah. So, it's dangerous to read this book also, because it lists the offenses. It lists the offenses. The offenses in deity worship, offenses in general. So one of the offenses in deity worship is to offer flowers that don't have a smell. That I always feel really bad when I read that one, because it's almost, even not only here, but it's very hard in many parts of the world to find flowers and have a smell. In India, no problem. In some places, you know, people grow their own and it has a smell. But what you buy in the market, they treat them genetically, so they're very beautiful. And they don't get old, but they don't have any smell. They think the smell is bad. It makes people sneeze sometimes. But there's 64 different offenses in deity worship. It's worthwhile to study, because many we do without even thinking, just by our normal training. The offenses to the holy name we know. But it also explains every, in step by step, you know, how to serve Krishna. And what are the benefits of serving Krishna? So, you know, we should be having a class in it every night, actually, and just read through it. When I was a new devotee, well, I wasn't a devotee, and I'm still not, but when I first came to the temple, They said this book is so perfect that we can't even lecture on it. We just read it. That's what the devotee said. Now, we do give some explanation, but basically, if you start reading it, you'll see everything is there. Rupa Goswami's most important book, and he wrote many, many important books. He was very favored by Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it goes right through up to the highest rasas and activities of Krishna, the most incredible philosophy about relationships, which I'm going to try to put something together because it's about relationships with Krishna, but all these different rasas apply to all our relationships. So there's what is it called? Bad rasas? You know, some things go together and some things don't go together. So like different moods are favorable and unfavorable. If you put sugar in the sweet rice, or you put salt in the sweet rice, not very good. It's rasa-basa. You know, if you put chilies in the sweet rice, it's rasa-basa. Sometimes it's good. Some combinations are good, some are not good. So just like that. There's all these different moods. In ecstasy, devotees have all these different moods, even anger and madness and everything, but there's mixtures. So it's a very incredible philosophy. But the beginning is the most nice part for us. It's just explaining step by step about all the activities in devotional service and how we should do it and how much benefit we can get. And we should know these things so that we have faith. By associating with Rupa Goswami, we can develop faith, associating with Prabhupada. According to Kusakrata Prabhu, who is our Sanskrit translator, sometimes people said, well, why didn't Prabhupada translate this book, you know, verse by verse? Because some of the Gaudiya might have done that. But he said that Prabhupada did, but he just put it in that prose way. He said, if you just go verse by verse, it's all there. That it's all written in such a way that it is easy to read. It doesn't require, like the Bhagavatam, some people just look at it and think, I can't read that. You know, I don't know Sanskrit, right? The Bhagavad Gita. When we show the book in America, we show them, you know, this is Sanskrit. You probably don't know Sanskrit, right? But that's all right, because here's the English. Otherwise, they might just see the Sanskrit and think, can't read it. They don't see the English. Maya is so strong. Many people, I can't. First thing, you have to be ready to explain it. So please read this and other books also. There's different moods in the world, you know. Like there's some places where I can give the same class, but 200 or 300 people sit for any number of hours until I pass out. And there's other places where everyone falls asleep immediately. Some places where people in one country, they said, all these devotees want your darshan. And it was late at night, you know, I thought, darshan usually means questions and answers. And talk, but their idea of darshan is they just come and give a donation. And leave. Okay, you know, you got time for that. So anyway, it's different everywhere. So we have books here that people from other countries give them. We want the devotees, especially the devotees, to have the books and read the book. Read something every day. This is an extremely beautiful printing. It's so light, not very thick, very high quality. So keep it nicely and read it again and again and again. It won't fall apart. Alright? You know, some books break if you read them very many times. This one is very high quality. It will last. And this year is... Sometimes Kartik ends in October. But this year, the last day of Kartik is the last day of November. And then the next day is the first day of December. In Bali, they started their marathon in November and go for 2 months. and almost everybody distributes food to so many in the world. But other countries will be starting, you know, 1st of December. They're getting ready, they're, you know, getting all the books ordered. The BBT in India prints like a million. Every year they print more and more Bhagavad Gita's and they run out because they distribute more. So that gives. That's why in December it's much. You can distribute much better because all over the world, so many devotees are distributing. So that energy is there. That, you know, unity. We're unified with all the other places. In Russia and America, some places, you know, it's 30 below zero. Devotees are out. Finland. 30 below zero. They have these clothes, you know, that are like, the pants are like this big, you know, they're hunters. And they stand and they sell a lot of books. It's amazing. And then they go in the sauna at night to thaw out, you know, because they're frozen. I had my own experience because I used to get, I couldn't even feel my whole right arm. You know. People would shake my hand and say, oh, samui, samui. I didn't care. You know, it was an ecstasy. Samui means cold in Japanese. Because they're coming out of the bar, they're drinking, and they got all kinds of, you know, and I've got all these warm clothes, but they don't, they're warm because they're just out for a few minutes. But devotees do it, they don't care. They're in ecstasy. Here it's hot, other places, you know, it's this way, that way. In Brazil, they go in the hellish bus station and jump on the bus, you know, and give everybody a book and say, okay, who wants a book, give a donation, run down the aisle, jump off the bus, get on the next bus, you know, pollution everywhere. And they distribute so many books. In Delhi, they're standing out on the highway, on the road, you know, and at the when the cars stop, and then they go and give everybody books. Just like here, I didn't see it here yet, but in Lagos, so many, you know, where there's a traffic jam, then everybody's selling something, right? So they go and sell Bhagavad Gita. We could probably do that, you know, people sell, in Lagos, some people are selling books, business books, you know. Pretty good price also compared to America. So you never know. Saw one guy walking in Port Harcourt and he had this pile of books on his head. It was about more than 2 meters taller than him. It was all, and then I got close, it's all Bibles. Different Bibles. And he's walking around. This mountain of books. I don't know if he was, they were tied on. I don't know where he was going. But we saw him walking one way and we ran hurrying him. Then I saw him walking back the other way. And maybe he's just like some tapasya area. Them is showing the books or something. But whatever you show, you can sell. You can't sell what you don't show. You can't sell what you don't have. So, and other factors also. Krishna will always help us. People want Krishna. Everybody wants Krishna because Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. They want pleasure, but they don't know where to get it. So they're trying to get it from inferior energy of Krishna, and they get a little bit of pleasure, and it doesn't last. It turns into misery most of the time. Pleasure and emotive passion begins like nice and turns into misery. Sex life, drinking, smoking, overeating, you know, it's fun, but then it's misery. Emotive ignorance is misery from the beginning to the end. Goodness starts out because there's some tapasya, starts out painful, but it turns into negative. So most people quit. They don't like something that's difficult. They want the cheap thrills, cheap religion. But not everybody. Many, many people are looking for the truth. So we can give it to them, and the more you give it, the more you'll get it. Krishna will be pleased and bless you. Unlimited. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and how did he establish himself and become so close to Prabhupada? Not by being a big guru in Africa. That came later. How did he get to be a big guru in Africa? Huh? What did he do? Huh? Distributed books. totally dedicated, risking his life. Sufficient reward. And when I ask him, I'm sorry that I when I went to see him in the last days, and I went in one day and I was leaving that day, and all my recording machines were dead batteries, and I said, "Do you have any message for the Africans?" So he said, "Preserve what you have, worship the deities." He mentioned that we've lost a lot because of offenses to the deities. But the first thing he said was, "Don't quarrel amongst yourselves." And then he said, "And distribute books." Four things. I came back later and said, "Can I record that?" "No," he said, "they have to believe you." So, I don't know if you believe me or not, but that I heard it. Maybe that boy from South Africa was in the room. Because at that time, sometimes he was suffering so much he couldn't think, and sometimes he was completely all right. But the first thing was, don't quarrel amongst yourselves. That's quarrel is Kali. Kali means quarrel. Kali Yuga. So quarreling is Kali's word. He's very happy when we quarrel amongst ourselves. He's very happy. Because then we won't be preaching. And we won't have, even if we stop quarreling and we think I've defeated this person, we won't have any enthusiasm to preach because we think all the devotees are so bad. Why would I want anyone to become a devotee? You have to be very careful because Kali Yuga is Kali Yuga and everybody is quarreling. Countries are quarreling, political parties are quarreling, husbands and wives are quarreling, brothers and sisters, right? They're just quarreling. The political campaign in America for president is so disgusting. And this year was the most expensive one ever. So many hundreds of millions of dollars spent to quarrel publicly. That's how. TV commercials criticizing the other guy. And then debates. "No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, I'm right. You're wrong." Yeah. And people are supposed to judge by the debate, but they don't know what's right or wrong. Nobody. How do you know what's going to save the economy? Because it's not by any material arrangement. People are suffering for their karma. And until they change their behavior, they're going to go on suffering. We're going to go on suffering until we, you know, look for the good. Look for the good. Everybody is a combination of good and bad qualities. So look for good. If there's something wrong, it's like your child doing something really bad, you have to. But you don't want to just hit your child over the head. You want to try to teach them what to do right. Right? So if the devotees are not perfect, then we should be trying to teach them, help them to become perfect. And so if we read the book, Prabhupada said, this book, the Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, every one of them, he said, if you just read this one book, you can go back to God. But that doesn't mean you just zip through it, you know, it means that you really read it and you try to apply what it says. So there's many, many nectarine examples of Krishna's Leela in this book, and unlimited philosophy, details about everything, you know, about deity worship, how you should do it, how not to do it, how you should chant, how not to chant. Everything is there. So Hare Krishna. Today is Mahadwadasi, first day of Bhishma, Panchaka. I don't know what kind of tapasya everybody is planning to do. Gopi Pranadana Prabhu told me that the main thing for this Kartik and all this is to hear and chant more and preach more. That's the real tapasya. That's the purpose of fasting or anything, so you have more time for chanting and hearing and a more clear head. Not that I'm fasting. Look at him. He drank water. he's not following like I am, then you don't make any advancement if that's our consciousness. Better to take a feast and go out and do Harinama. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Govinda ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Krishna. Gaur Nitai ki jai. This is a very good microphone. Where did we get from? A good microphone. Huh?
Two of these.
Yeah, I know. Who bought them? Yamaha. Very high quality. Not the tin.